Let me briefly bring a word for Mother's Day. And so, Father, now as we come to your word, I trust, Lord, that your Holy Spirit now is in total agreement with your word. And so as it comes, Lord, settle each heart, speak to each mind. Lord, edify each soul, build us up in Christ, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. And so I'll give you a few words and then we'll have some sweet fellowship. Let me stick to my notes so I can remember here. On Tuesday, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday prior, which would have been April 26th, you know how you go to work and some days are different. And so I was at work on a Tuesday and had a lull in my day, and I was on YouTube watching a video of Shirley Caesar. Anybody, if you know who Shirley Caesar is, and so I was listening to her sing a song, and that it was all was fine and good, but then I saw a song titled "Don't Drive Mama Away." And I clicked on it, and I began to listen to this song. And if you don't know anything about Shirley Caesar, let me just tell you this. The woman is a storyteller. This woman tells a story like not many people that I know can. But she does it in song. And she paints a picture. And when she begins to paint the picture, you get it real well what she's saying. And to make a long story even longer, let me say this. This video called "Don't Drive Mama Away" was a story about two sons, and how one son after mama got old, she took care of them as a good mama would. But after he got older, he wanted to put mama into a nursing home. Now, this is my testimony, is not yours. If your mama's in a nursing home, don't feel bad or anything like that. Okay, but. And so the other brother comes home and says, "Don't drive mama. Don't drive her away. Don't put her in a nursing home. Have her come live with me." And it was just a beautiful song. And so as I'm listening to that song, I start to think about my mother. She's been gone 6 years now in February, which seems like a long time now, but it seems so not so long ago. Anyhow, so as I began to listen to this song, tears began to stream down my face as I thought about mama. And I'm sitting there, and then after that video, another video called, Shirley Caesar, called "I Remember Mama." Lord Jesus, when I clicked on that one, it was all gone. The floodgates, you know, it was over then. I'm trying to, and I'm the only one in my office, so I'm looking up at the camera to make sure ain't nobody walking through the door, because I'm done. I'm like, and the thing about it is that it felt so good. It felt so good because I wasn't crying because, "Oh, Bob, I miss you, you're gone," and all. It was just, I was crying because I was thanking God because he gave me the mother that he did. I was just thanking God because I love her. You know how you think about, if your mother's still here, you're blessed. Amen. And so forth. But even if not, you're still blessed because God gave you that time with her. God gave her to you and you to her. And the experiences that you have, you'll never lose. Okay. The memories, all of that is real and it'll never pass away. And so I sat there just sobbing and thanking God. And my heart was just moved with so much emotion for my mothers. I thought, let me email my sister. So I emailed them the videos, and my middle sister emailed back and said, "You know, mama loved herself some Shirley Caesar." And I didn't know that, you know. And so it was interesting when she emailed me back and let me know that. So anyhow, was just there and spent that time before the Lord, and I thank God and thinking about the fact that God gave us who he gave us so that he might represent himself in our lives. And I want to in one scripture, I only have one scripture to share with you today, and well, I've got more, but one text to show that God, in our relationships, in particular with our mothers, wasted no time with the mothers that he has put in our life. Listen, you ever think about it? You didn't choose your family. You didn't choose your mother or your father, your brother or your sister. God did. God did. And when you walk with God and when you grow in the knowledge of God, you look back. You come into a point in your life, especially, I keep telling my children, when you get to my age. I said, when you get to my age, there's so much you're going to have walked with God through. There's so much you're going to have walked with God through. And you're going to have so many testimonies, have so much to talk about God with someone. So we remember that God brought us into this world through her. When our mother is gone, a big part of us emotionally doesn't necessarily go with her, but is attached to her. And sometimes I don't think even a mother realizes how much God fashioned her to be so much to the children that she would bear. But I tell you what, you know, and it really, that's why one of the things for those of you who, some of, we're so blessed. If you had your mother tell you she loves you, you're blessed. If you had your mother kiss you, you're blessed. Because I've talked to people who have had neither. And that didn't make their mother a bad mother. It's just like this. You can't give what you've never had. So we don't judge. We don't judge. Because a mother will try, she'll give all that she has, but you can't give what you've never had. You see? And so when my mother was alive, I remember every time I would say goodbye to her, I would always kiss her on the forehead, and she would always like, oh, like that. But you see, she wasn't kissed by her father. She wasn't kissed by her mother. And they would tell her how they were beaten by their parents because their parents were beaten by the slaves, masters. And so you can only give what you have. But God is a redeemer. Hello? I said God is a redeemer. And so he redeems our lives from destruction, Psalm 103 tells us. Amen? And So the question I ask myself, why did God, you know, put so much of himself, or there's so much fashion into a mother and a father, but a Father's Day is a month away. We'll get to that later, but today we're going to deal with mothers. Amen? And it is very simple, because God wanted us to know that just as you needed your mother for everything, humans are born helpless. Humans are born without, they can't fend anything for themselves. God brought us into that world, into the world this way, because we would need our mother to watch over us. And just like you needed her, so then too, there's a double meaning God's trying to speak to us, because just like you needed her and couldn't live without her, so you need me, and you cannot function without me. So there's the physical life that we get through our mother, but there's also the spiritual life that comes from God. And just as we need him, and so that picture is always there before us, always there. I don't know if you ever heard Ravi Zacharias talk about his mother. He said something happens when you lose your mother. He said, and you could feel him going back. He says, Your parents are like the anchors of your soul. And when they're gone, no one can replace them. They had a special God-given place in your life. And it's not like you can't go on. You go on, but you thank God. My mother personally prayed each one of her children into the kingdom and took us to meetings and so forth until we got saved and baptized with the Holy Ghost. She never stopped until she saw that, because that was her desire. So then when God wanted to convey his commitment to Israel, he did it through the mother-child relationship. And so I want, if you have a Bible, fine. If not, I'm just going to read this, these two verses in Isaiah chapter 49. Because God is going to allow his people to go into captivity because they needed to be taught. And judgment was going to come because they had not repented. And but speaking to them, in Isaiah, I'm going to start in verse 13, it says, "Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted." But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me." And God, wanting to convey what he felt about Israel, said this: "Can a woman forget her nursing child? Can a woman forget her nursing child?" And so for my sermon illustration today, God brought all the way from Texas Kip and Anita. Did I get that right? All right. And can a woman forget her nursing child? I said those two because they seem to always have a nursing child somewhere around. Amen. And so that's part of my sermon illustration that I didn't even know was going to be afoot. But here we are. God didn't say, can a woman forget her child? He said, can a woman forget her nursing child? Now, nursing in America has been taking a hit of late. If you've been paying attention, even if you're not a mom, we've heard things about people having problems with women breastfeeding in public. And it's not like they're being, you know, indiscreet about it. They're covering themselves appropriately and so forth, but people are still upset. And there are videos on Facebook about the woman sitting in a mall feeding her child, and another couple comes up to her and says, "You know, you shouldn't be doing this in public. This isn't right." They begin to rebuke her and shame her, and she's sitting there. She's like, "But I'm feeding my child. What's wrong with you?" And they're in her face and giving her so much grief over the fact that she's feeding her child. And yet it's God who made the mother that way to be able to feed that child. And God here says, can a woman forget her nursing child? Can she forget the one who is attached to her, whom God made for her to nourish out of her own body? Out of her own body. I told my family today, I said, I'm preaching on breastfeeding today. My wife she looked at me and my wife looked at me and she didn't say anything. She just turned and went on about her business. I says, honey, you didn't say anything to me. I says, I'm preaching on breastfeeding today. And she says, she kind of looked at me and said, well, what do you want me to say? And I'm like, well, I'm trying to get a response out of you, but she didn't entertain me. Listen, I didn't say it. God said it. He said, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Yet I will not forget you. So let me say some things about nursing. Okay. One website says this: breastfeeding is designed by nature. Stop right there. We need to take nature out. Because who made nature? So what they're really saying is breastfeeding is designed by God. Amen. Just had to get that straight. to ensure maternal-infant interaction and closeness. To ensure maternal interaction and closeness. If done without schedules or other restrictions, breastfeeding guarantees that you and your baby will be in close physical contact 8 to 18 times in every 24 hours. 8 to 18 times every 24 hours. Now, when I all that I'm saying is happens in the natural, but you know that's not the reason I'm saying it. I'm saying it because there's a spiritual application. Because as a mother would nurse her child and be looking into the child's eyes, so God would nurse and take care of you and look into your eyes. Because God says, a nursing mother may forget her child, but I'll never forget you. And so this whole picture is drawn up, and God drew it up in this verse of scripture that we have. It goes on and says, in fact, nursing mothers tend to be with their infants altogether more than other mothers. In the first 10 days after birth, nursing mothers hold their babies more than bottle feeding mothers. No condemnation, anything like that. Even when they are not nursing, they rock their babies more, speak to their babies more, and are more likely to sleep with their babies. In Western society, many women never hold a newborn until they give birth to their own. Yet this frequent skin-to-skin contact and interaction soon make up for even a complete lack of familiarity with babies. The mother who immerses herself in her newborn, breastfeeding frequently and without restrictions, quickly learns to read her baby's cues and to trust her own instincts. She extends the gentle give and take, the empathy and the commitment of breastfeeding into the rest of her mothering. Nursing her baby provides her with a blueprint for sensitive parenting in the years to come. And so here God's given us this beautiful picture. I, for one, when I see a woman breastfeeding, my mind just goes to, look at how God provides. Yes. Look at how God provides. Everything at the initial stages of feeding that child, everything that that child needs is in the mother. Yes. And it's the same thing in the spirit. When you and I come to faith in Jesus Christ, everything we need is in him. And so he says, come to me. Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You'll find rest. Come to me. And so he comes and brings us close to himself. There are a few more points in here, so I'm going to give some scriptures as I go along. But there's another point that they made about comfort nursing. Babies often engage in comfort nursing, also known as non-nutritive sucking, well beyond their need for taking in milk for nourishment. Given the opportunity, most babies will comfort nurse. Comfort nurse. Beloved, do you know that you and I spiritually comfort nurse?
Yes, indeed.
There's spiritual comfort nursing. We're going up to God. Listen, it's in a person who is hungry for God. And their comfort nurse, they want him. They want to be with him. They want to be around him. Why? Because of comfort. I'll give you a few scriptures in a second. Given the opportunity, most babies will comfort nurse. And for babies' benefit, it is a good thing. Comfort nursing satiates or satisfies your baby's need for soothing. As a Christian, you ever have a need for soothing? You better know you do. You know you do. We may not always go to him to get the soothing, but we need it. But we need it. Some people, when they get stressed, they turn to cutting. When they get stressed, some people, they turn to all kinds of things. I'm talking Christians. Because they want to be comforted. They want to be soothed. But we need to go to him. He's provided a place for us to go. So your baby needs to nurse for security, positive hormonal releases, bonding, and company. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2 says this, speak comfort to Jerusalem. Speak comfort to her. Isaiah 66:13, As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. That's what God says. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. I told you the story. I'll tell you it real quickly again of how one day my mother comforted me when I was pushing this little boy, Philip, on the swing. He said, push me higher. And I pushed him higher. He said, push me higher. And I pushed him higher. He said, push me higher. And I pushed him so hard he fell out the swing and he cried like he was dying. I remember in Northeast D.C. this happened. I was so scared, I ran home, ran through the door, didn't say hi, ran up, threw myself on my bed, just shaking. I said, I killed him. I know he's dead. I've killed him. I was like 7. So he was like 4 or 5. And I'm thinking, he's dead. He's dead. My mother, who was in the kitchen, just walked up the stairs. She saw what was going on. And she didn't even ask me what was going on. She had found out. She came up the stairs and said, Patrick. I said, yes, Mom. I'm crying. She said, Philip is all right. I didn't even ask her. You know, you're 7. You don't say, well, Mama, how'd you know? I just said, he is? She's like, yeah, he's okay. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I'm trying to get myself together. You know, so I'm thinking to myself, so I'm not going to jail? They're not coming to get me? But her words comforted me so, so, so. And as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. 2 Corinthians 1 that we know so well. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, listen at this, and God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Oh, hallelujah. That means whatever comfort you need, it's in him. He's it. He's where it's coming from. Because he's the God of all comfort. And when you and I are in any trouble and hurting and at our absolute lowest point, the God of all comfort is there. He's the one who comes. He's the one who keeps us. The God of all comfort who comforts us, listen, in all our tribulation. In all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so as I said before, you can only give what you've received. And because we receive comfort from God, then we're able to extend or to minister or to give comfort to others. God's still talking about this nursing child, so I must keep talking about this nursing child. There's something else that nursing does. Sucking promotes sleep. Sucking promotes sleep. Another powerful benefit of breastfeeding and sucking is its promotion of sleep in baby and in a sleepy mommy. The peace and quiet also allowed dad to sleep, and all the men said, amen. Amen. I have a personal story with this because our son, my, I remember it well. Our boy, when he was little, it was comical, because once he would start feeding, now I don't know because Tori didn't breastfeed, but I don't know how long typically children feed, but I don't think our son ever made it past a couple minutes, and he would literally start feeding, and then like a minute he would fall off and go. And he just go to sleep. And I'm looking at him. I'm like, honey, ain't he supposed to go longer than this? He would just go to sleep. And when he would go to sleep, so when I read this point, this just popped up in my mind. He would go so to sleep that I have a videotape of me yelling at the top of my lungs, Johnson! He wouldn't wake up. I mean, it put him to sleep. I says, honey, this cannot be real. So I'm yelling at the top of my lungs. I'm a young father. So you know how us boys can be. You know, I'm a young father. So my mind gets to going. I said, what can wake him up? What can wake him up? I go to the refrigerator, get out ice cubes. And I come with ice cubes, and I'm rubbing them on his feet. And I'm like, honey, this boy is asleep. He won't wake up. The milk, the breastfeed, I put it on his head. Put the ice on it. He's gone. And I'm like, wow. And it happened over and over and over again. And so I can say that this is true. Psalms 4 verse 8 says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. For you alone make me dwell in safety. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. So it's vain for us to stay up worrying when God has given us sleep. Another point, benefit, is the skin-to-skin contact. Many studies demonstrate the benefits of skin-to-skin contact in babies. One measurable benefit of such contact is increased oxytocin. They talk so much about oxytocin. And I began to understand what was going on. This article is a science-based article. So because there's God missing, science becomes the God. And so all the oxytocin and all these things that man can measure, it becomes the thing that you exalt. It's just that we know the one who made all the things that you can measure, and he is God. So they go on and on and on about all of these releases, and it was so impersonal because all it was talking about was chemicals. This chemical, you need this to happen, this to happen, this to happen. And it was all chemical-based. And I'm reading it through Holy Ghost lenses, creator lenses. And everywhere I'm reading is, God put oxytocin in there, and God put that there, and all of this comes together. Praise you, Lord Jesus. It's beautiful how you did this. And so that's why this has such application. This passage of scripture has so much application for us because God's handprint is in everything that he made. So he made mothers, he made fathers, he made the earth. His handprint is on everything. And we thank God for that. And so it says regular high oxytocin levels not only comfort you and your baby, but they serve to increase your sense of satisfaction with motherhood. Well, Psalm 16:11 says this, you will show me the path of life in your presence. Is fullness of joy. That skin contact that the baby's getting from mom. For us, in the realm of the spirit, David said, in your presence is fullness of joy. Oh, yeah, Lord. That's where I find my greatest sense of joy is in your presence. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 21:6 says, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him, speaking of the king, exceedingly glad with your presence. With your presence. Another benefit, seeing eye to eye. And how many times have I seen a mother breastfeeding her child and she's looking into the child's eyes? So intimate, so beautiful. The one through whom the child came is looking into the child's eyes. That is, beloved, that's so precious on a physical level. But on a spiritual level, oh, it's so beautiful because God is looking you and I into our eyes as we receive nourishment, as we receive all that we need from him, he's looking into our eyes. And it is his purpose that we look back into his face. And so when we receive nourishment, when we receive all that we get from God, we're not looking at his hand. We're looking at his face. We're not looking at just what he can do, but we're looking at who he is. Okay? Mothers, God has sent you as a picture of this in the earth right now. All your life, whether you knew it or not. You're an image of this. You're an image of this through which he funnels himself. Feeding time is also designed to encourage your baby's reception of positive activities such as studying your face. You ever thought of a child studying the face of mommy? You ever thought of a spiritual child studying the face of their Savior, of their Creator? It happened in Revelation chapter 1. John said, I heard a voice behind me speaking as of a trumpet. He said, I turned around to look at the voice. And what I saw was, he says, when I looked into his eyes were like fire. Fire. Which speaks of purifying. When Christ looks at you, his gaze will purify your life. And is purifying our lives right now. So he says that this positive activity, such as studying face, exchanging expressions with you, sharing verbal cues. I thought, how beautiful. Sharing verbal cues. So as we were worshiping here today, God gave a verbal cue. Carl picked up on it. And he said in spiritual, goo goo gaga, giga goo goo. And we all said, oh, yes. All the babies said, oh, yes. This is all wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, that's how it works. Not only does this deepen the attachment between the two of you, but much of your baby's early verbal, emotional, and social learning is meant to occur during this focused time. The spiritual equivalent to that is simply us spending time with him, looking into his face. That's what worship is all about. It's not about the beat. It's not about all that. It's about being one-on-one with God. Psalms 32, verse 8, God said this, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. My eye into your eye. Your eye into mine. Eye to eye contact. He says, I will guide you. Worship is important. Because it's the time when you look into the eye of God. You study his face. You exchange expressions. You share verbal cues. It deepens the attachment between you and God. You learn of him during this important and focused time. One other that they mention is holding, rocking, and cuddling. Holding, rocking, and cuddling. The need for frequent breastfeeding throughout the day and night ensures the baby gets their fill of holding, rocking, and cuddling. Natural on-cue breastfeeding ensures that mothers will take the time with sufficient frequency to provide ample nurturing attention. And so as a mom sees that her baby needs to be fed, needs to be cared for, needs to be attended to, do you think God is any different? No. He's more so. He's more so. That's why Jesus says that before your Father knows that you have need of all these things. He knows what our need is. Huh? So beautiful how God painted the picture. Bottle feeding parents can do this too by making feeding times cherishable times and remembering to hold their babies frequently throughout the day. And so here God has used a mother to reveal his dedication to Israel. Think of it. A mother cannot forget that which came to life in her, was nourished in her, depended on her, was one with her, and lived because of her. Just because the child is no longer in her does not mean she has forgotten the child. God reveals his love in the love of a mother for her children. God has revealed and continues to reveal his love in the love of a mother for her children. And so when I listen to the likes of, Ravi Zacharias and John Piper and Professor John Lennox, and as they debate with the atheists, and the atheists are trying to determine, you know, what is the origin of morality? And what is love? What would make a mother sacrifice her life for a child? Because they're trying to explain love with no context for God. That if God isn't in it, where does love come from? If we pulled ourselves up out of the swamp, out of this pool, you know, and these cells clumped together and finally became a fish or a tadpole, and then it drug itself out of the slime up onto land, and all of a sudden one day it stood up, and here now it's walking, and here you and I are. Where does love come from and all that? Well, it's very simple. It doesn't. Love is not the result of complex chemicals. Love has no physical DNA. There's no amount of potassium and silicon and carbon that you can put together and all of a sudden have love. No. God reveals his love. And that's what they don't understand when they look at a mother. What would cause her to love a child like that? He made it so that we could never be without a picture of his love. God made mothers to love their children that way so that we could never be without a picture of his love. So mothers, when God made you, he did it in his image. Let me say it again, mothers. When God made you, he made you in his image. When you see a mother, you see the handiwork of God. Let's stand to our feet. We bless you, Jesus. Father, again, we thank you for the mothers that you have given, that you have uniquely given to each and every one of us. Father, we love them, we cherish them, we adore them. And Father, we commit them to you. Father, and for all their days, that which you have ordained for their lives, Lord, for them to enjoy, O God, the fruit of their labors, for them to enjoy their children, O God, and their grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. Father, we bless them now. We pray, Lord, that your word will continue to minister to them and minister to us all. And may we always see the glory of your grace, Lord, in all of your handiwork throughout this life, we pray. In Jesus' holy name. And everyone said amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Bless you.